think about those questions and decide whether you want to be fake or real in dealing with these problems. And I also leave you with one last quote by one of the greatest master teachers of Pan-Africanism, Dr. John Henrik Clark, who said, "Black people, who are you kidding about friends in the world? Damn it, if you want a friend, look in the mirror." Have a great afternoon, y'all. Thank you for listening.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Most people think great God will come from the sky, away everything and make everybody feel high.
And good morning. It is 9 o'clock here on KBOO Portland, your community radio station. We've got a busy Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. We'll have no Air Cascadia today. Chris Andre is off for today. Instead, we're going to hear an hour-long edition of Flashpoints, which features an update on the situation in Syria, including news of a 48-hour ceasefire and new allegations of the use of napalm in the Syrian military. Also, analysis of the role of Saudi Arabia in Syria and the Gulf region. Coverage of the recent spill of toxic materials into the Animas River by the EPA, a report on the returning ethnic studies to Arizona classrooms, and an interview with Richard Montoya of Culture Clash about his new performance piece, Nogales. At 11 on Between the Covers, today they welcome local author Ellen Urbani on the launch of her debut novel, Landfall, published by Portland-based national publisher Forest Avenue Press. And at 11:30, it's Words and Pictures welcoming celebrated cartoonist and author David Chelsea to preview his new web comic, Are You Being Watched? A modern take on the Faustian legend set in the era of reality television. That's all coming up this morning on KBOO, right after Teresa Mitchell hosting Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know, right after this.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Peña Flamenca de Portland, August 30th at the Headwaters Theater in Portland. This month, La Peña's show features artists from the Bay Area and France, including Andrea La Calena, Cristo Cortez, and Ricardo Diaz y Brenna McDonald. Again, that's Peña Flamenca de Portland, August 30th at the Headwaters Theater, located at 55 Northeast Farragut Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know. I'm Teresa Mitchell. You're listening to KBOO Portland. The planet we live on is careening towards increased climate disaster, but the world's biggest polluting agency, the Pentagon, continues business as usual. U.S. armed forces are 3,500 strong occupying Iraq today, and that doesn't even count the mercenaries, as jet fighters attack from the sea and attack Syria from an airbase in Turkey. A U.S. serviceman died earlier this month in Afghanistan as that occupation continues, and the U.S. is also at war or facilitating wars in Syria, Yemen, Ukraine, and even the Philippines. This from The Guardian. The Philippines will station new fighter jets and two frigates as it opens the former U.S. naval base in Subic Bay to military use, and a further response to Chinese expansionism in the disputed South China Sea. And The Guardian writes, once one of the biggest U.S. naval facilities in the world, Subic Bay was shut in 1992 after the Philippine Senate terminated a bases agreement with Washington at the end of the Cold War. Manila converted the facility. And they write, Defense Undersecretary Batino told Reuters the Philippine military signed an agreement in May with the zone's operator, the Subic Bay Metropolitan Authority, to use part of the installation under a renewable 15-year lease. U.S. warships have called regularly at Subic Bay since 2000, but only to dock during exercises with the Philippine military or to use its commercial facilities for repairs and supplies. So war everywhere. The U.S. is at war. And you are certainly paying for it. You're paying for it with your taxes and with your blood, depending on who you are and who you're related to. Climate change, according to KIRO Seattle, is happening in the Northwest. They write, the day when sea levels rise enough to disperse entire populations could be closer than scientists originally thought. While we're already seeing the potential effects in the Pacific Northwest, we may still be better off than others. The NASA climatologist who originally introduced climate change to the public in the 1980s is warning that the mean sea levels may be rising quicker than predicted. In fact, it could be rising 10 times faster than the rate originally predicted. And that's reporting from Rolling Stone. And KIRO says unless emissions are cut, the sea level could rise up to 10 feet by 2065, according to James Hansen. The social disruption and economic consequences of the increased sea levels might be enough to make the planet ungovernable, according to a warning by Hansen and a team of scientists. With the current events tied to unusually hot weather in Seattle this summer, it's hard to argue climate change isn't happening. Rivers are at record low levels, killing off fish and forcing government to truck them to hatcheries. Cities in the Pacific Northwest, including Seattle and Tacoma, are issuing drought warnings as consumable water levels drop at a significant rate. To top things off, a rainforest in Olympic National Park, which is not burned in our lifetimes, is burning. The new study finds a 2-degree rise in global temperature, which will bring sea level rise to catastrophic levels. Sea level change could, and in some cases already is, having an impact on the Puget Sound region. And they write, take Seattle's Georgetown and South Park neighborhoods. A recent study by a panel of experts found that during extremely high tides and heavy rainfall, storm drains are backing up and overflowing into the streets there. Though it's already happening about once per year now, the rate is expected to increase to once per month as sea levels rise. The rate at which rising sea levels are expected to increasingly impact those neighborhoods is on par with that in the rest of the world. And the panel found storm drains will be backing up once a month by 2050. That means sea levels around the world could rise 10 feet, as I said earlier, by 2065. This is Press Watch on KBOO Portland, and I want to talk about this sort of thing. I want to talk about the need for revolution, and I'm not saying that lightly. I see that... It's pretty obvious to anyone who really wants to look that the electoral process is utterly corrupted with billionaire funds. And as a matter of fact, we know that there's a billionaire primary now where major candidates go before a presidential election to suck up to the very rich in the hopes that they will use the various pathways that are available in this this post Supreme Court decision, whose name just blanked out of my mind, this world. That's the way it's done. And our political process is corrupt, and we need to find our way to revolution. I would say the more orderly and peaceful, the better, wouldn't you? And I think there are various ways to get there. I think that it has to start, well, actually is starting the way it's starting. It starts with protest. People become aware of just how corrupt the system is, and begin to think of ways to deal with it and to thwart it. And that isn't just going out into the streets, but finding our own ways to live our lives without the oppression of the billionaires and the white supremacy and the imperialism and the corporatism that they depend on. So I'm interested to hear what you have to say about that and how you are moving towards revolution and how you think it might play out. Number to call is 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I had Naomi Klein on here just a few months ago, and she was promoting her book, This Changes Everything. And she was pointing out that climate change isn't going to allow things to go on in the way that they have. We can pretend for a while, but things are already happening. And whenever I find articles on how fast things are moving, I find that things are moving faster than anyone thought that they would. And then if I go back a year after that, I'll find that things are moving faster than people thought then, and a year after that, and so on and so forth, and there's been this acceleration. And so from my perspective, doing a news analysis show once a week, for lo, these getting on to 30 years, climate change is a catastrophe, not is going to be a catastrophe. Climate change is happening, is accelerating, is a disaster, and it is going to change everything. I think Naomi Klein is absolutely right about that. I have some more headlines to pass on to you. As I say, the number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. The Russian media is reporting that today Donetsk was hit by a record 800 artillery shells. This is from the soccer.is. Reporting that to the city of Donetsk in eastern Ukraine is being bombed to pieces with artillery shells. The Telmanovo suburb was hit particularly hard, but the shelling was also very violent in the airport region. Furthermore, DNR intelligence services have reported a steady movement of Ukrainian forces toward the line of contact. These forces include tanks and artillery systems, even multiple rocket launchers. Yesterday, a group of 8 tanks, backed by armored personnel carriers, attempted to attack Novorossian positions but were beaten back. 2 Ukro-Nazi tanks were destroyed, and he asked, does that mean that a junta attack is imminent? Then he answers his own question and says, maybe the logical conclusion would be that yes, indeed an attack is imminent, and that the current Ukro-Nazi attacks are probing attacks, reconnaissance by fire to test the Novorossian defenses. It makes no sense at all to bring more and more forces and then to keep in the field doing nothing. And he writes, but then the junta has done so many illogical and plain stupid things during this war that I would not put it past them to just move forces and order shelling to, say, impress the British defense secretary. This is a time-tested Ukro-Nazi policy. Every time some high-ranking Western official shows up in Kyiv, they beg for money and show their magnificent resolve to defend Europe against the Russian hordes. Shelling civilians is usually how this resolve is demonstrated by the Ukrainian regime. And he writes, still, even though it may sound like we're crying wolf, we should keep on reporting that the junta forces are poised for an attack. So that is buttressed by an account from worldsocialist.org, WSWS.org. Danger mounts of U.S.-NATO war with Russia. And that is on today's Dateline at WSWS.org. They write, a newly issued report by the European Leadership Network, a think tank, comprised of former top officials of European governments and the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, finds that the military exercises conducted by NATO and Russia this year have made the outbreak of war between the two sides more likely. Under the title Preparing for the Worst, the report warns that the rapid pace and increasing scale of military exercises along the border between Russia and NATO member states have gone well beyond the point of signaling deterrence and become an independent factor in increasing the danger of a military conflagration. So, departing from that article, I've been saying that the U.S. is at war around the world, and that war is expanding with the U.S. attacking Syria from bases in Turkey. And with the situation heating up in the Ukraine, and I shouldn't phrase it that way. I shouldn't say the situation is heating up. I need to be more specific, and I know that some of you are confused when I say Ukro-Nazi and Novorossian. Let me explain again, since the U.S. press has abandoned the topic. Ukraine suffered a color revolution, which was, of course, betrayed by the kleptocracy, the billionaires. And their new government in Kyiv is, well, its military branch is chiefly, literally, Nazis. And this is why they're called Ukro-Nazis. It is partly an insult, but it is also accurate as far as their military affairs are concerned. Their armed forces are chock full of ideological Nazis, and some of their actual military divisions are they're just Nazi organizations. They fly the Nazi flag. They talk the talk. They are what they are. And so that's Kyiv. And then closer to Russia, there are several enclaves of primarily Russian speakers who did not want to have a color revolution, and who did not want to ally themselves with the NATO states and wanted to ally themselves more or less with Russia. And they have, the two sides have been fighting. Of course, the U.S. is supplying via NATO and via direct arms shipments, is supplying the Kyiv government. You know, that's where they got those 800 artillery shells that hit the town in Novorossiya, hit Donetsk. And the Novorossians are capturing equipment and using it to shoot back, and I have no doubt they are also getting some logistical and intelligence support from the Russians. And meanwhile, NATO has been increasing tensions in other ways by having these exercises, very large exercises, on the borders. Now, returning to this article, Russia is preparing for a conflict with NATO, and NATO is preparing for possible confrontation with Russia. According to the report, we do not suggest the leadership of either side has made a decision to go to war or that a military conflict between the two is inevitable, but that the changed profile of exercises is a fact and that it does play a role in sustaining the current climate of tensions in Europe. The report consists of an analysis of the two largest military exercises conducted by Russia and NATO respectively this year. A Russian snap exercise in March involving 80,000 troops launched in northern Russia and extended southward, and NATO's Allied Shield exercises in June, which involved 15,000 troops divided among naval vessels in the Baltic Sea, ground troops operating in Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, and Poland, and warplanes active over the whole region. The contrast is intrinsically unbalanced. Since the ELN is comparing Russian military exercises, which take place on Russia's own territory, to military exercises involving U.S., Canadian, and other troops deployed thousands of miles from home and only a few miles from the Russian border, there is no consideration of the constant and massive U.S. military exercises in North America. Moreover, the ELN does not factor in the worldwide operations of the Pentagon, which dwarf those conducted by any other country, including Russia. The study does concede that the Russian exercise was much larger, mainly because it involved conscripts drafted for one-year terms of service and carrying out relatively simple operations. In terms of highly specialized troops such as Marines and airborne paratroopers, the numbers deployed by NATO and Russia were roughly equal. The study notes the rapid pace of escalation by U.S.-NATO forces with 162 exercises last year, double the number originally planned, together with an additional 40 exercises by NATO member states in Europe conducted on their own. It notes the particularly provocative character of the February 24th NATO action in Narva, a town on the Estonian-Russian border, which involved the presence of armored vehicles from the U.S. Army's 2nd Cavalry Regiment, as well as British, Dutch, Spanish, Lithuanian, and Latvian troops at a military parade commemorating Estonia's Independence Day. So what I'm saying here is that the U.S. is threatening a catastrophe, a war, with Russia. This is an impossibility. Russia is nuclear armed. It isn't possible to have a little war with Russia. I mentioned last week that Russia is deploying their new S-400 anti-aircraft missiles. S-300 were already more than sufficient to guard their territory. These missiles certainly mean that the U.S. cannot bomb Russian territory or any territory that is defended by those missiles. The era of aircraft bombing is actually over, and the only reason the U.S. is able to get away with using jet aircraft to bomb territories here and there is because they bomb territories that do not have the latest anti-aircraft missiles. You may recall that when the U.S. was first attacking Iraq, that it went in with very heavy military presence and used the anti-radar missiles to knock out Saddam Hussein's radar. His stuff was second rate, and it was overwhelmed by American forces. But that was as close as the U.S. has gotten to a confrontation in which the other side could actually fight back. And because their missiles were out of date and their radar systems were out of date, it wasn't really a fair fight at all. And of course, those missile sites, anti-aircraft missile sites in Iraq were obliterated swiftly. That sort of thing isn't possible against the Russians. So what is possible, however, unfortunately, is a widespread nuclear war. And nuclear wars also don't go in little bits and pieces. This sort of thing has been thought out very carefully, of course, over the decades. And the fact is that nuclear weapons are so destructive, no one can afford to lose cities. And so any attack will be countered by a massive counterattack. And any massive counterattack would be countered by a counter-counterattack and so on until everyone dies. So this is quite a risk that we're looking at. When the U.S. is aiding and provoking the Ukrainian government in Kyiv to attempt to take the separatists closer to Russia. It's like they want to be, in my opinion, they want to be closer to Russia. It's none of our damn business. Moreover, it's much too dangerous to try to enforce Ukraine's former territory. And I just don't know where to start with that. But if you have comments, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and George is on the air.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
Thanks for these important topics. I have just two brief things. One, I would like you to repeat the source of this article, the title and the source on NATO, Russia. I tuned in a little bit late. I missed that.
Okay, this article is called Danger Mounts of U.S.-NATO War with Russia, and it is by worldsocialist.org, WSWS.org.
WSWS.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I have one brief comment on the climate. A few days ago, about a week ago, I heard radio echo shock, and you probably heard this same thing, so you may just cut me off and tell me, yeah, I know, and I'll give this address. I heard an address on there by Kevin Anderson, Real Clothes for the Emperor, Facing the Challenges of Climate Change, and it is absolutely galvanizing and horrifying. The guy is a top scientist in climate in the UK, and I'll say that it can be found, according to right on the page, where it's about 10 pages of a talk lasting 50 minutes. It can be found at http://www.indymedia.org.uk/media/2012/11/2/502/497.mp3. And if you want me to repeat just a brief on this, I will.
I think the way, I appreciate you passing on that information, and I think the better way to do this over the radio is to say to go to indymedia.org.uk and find it from there, because
okay.
It's rather a lengthy address. I was just now trying to type it into the address bar following you, and I messed up something. But when I shortened it to indymedia.org.uk, I did get that website. And what was the name of the article and the author?
His name is Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N. And the title of the essay was Real Clothes for the Emperor, Facing the Challenges of Climate Change. And his main message, among others, well, he had several. One of them is that it's going a lot faster, and it's a lot bigger than we thought, and it's going to be horrible. His other one is many, many of the scientists, most of them, have been silent about this. And I don't know if that's true. But is that what you need? Then I'll
Do it. Using the word climate, I find articles on that website. So thank you very much for that.
Sure. And, Kevin Anderson, Real Clothes for the Emperor, should get it on that website.
Indie, or a search engine, yeah.
And it's a ukindymedia.org, UK/media. Okay, I'll get off, and I want to listen to the rest of this extraordinary program. Thank you.
Well, thanks very much. Okay, so summarizing what we've gone through so far, right now it's 9:24 Pacific time. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell, and was talking about climate change and quoting a report from KIRO in Seattle. Then I was quoting the soccer.is saying that Donetsk was hit by 800 artillery shells, and following that with report from WSWS.org, danger mounts of U.S.-NATO war with Russia. And it's talking about how the exercises are escalating the danger of an outright war. Referring again to the ELN study, and this ELN stands for European Leadership Network, which is, well, they describe it as an imperialist think tank that blames the rising tensions along the NATO-Russia interface on dangerous brinksmanship on the part of Moscow, while expressing concern that the tempo of military operations on both sides can produce unintended consequences. Quoting the group's chairman, Ian Kearns, history is full of examples of leaders who think they can keep control of events, and events have a habit of taking on a momentum and a dynamic of their own, end quote. And speaking for myself, I think that the truth of that is probably reflected by these 800 artillery strikes, if you can imagine. Donetsk and Portland are not so different in size. And can you imagine 800 bombs going off? It's a very severe and frightening situation. It's a severe crime. And the U.S. is very much involved with it by supporting the Kyiv regime. And I'm curious as to your comments and questions. 503-231-8187. Sunny is on the air. Hi, Sonny. What do you think about war with Russia? Okay. That didn't quite work out. So number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. NATO spokesman Carmen Romero flatly rejected any suggestion that the Imperialist Alliance, should curb its activities along the Russian border. And quoting Romero, NATO military exercises are not, as reports suggest, making war in Europe more likely. She said they are intended precisely to have the opposite effect, to enhance security and stability in Europe in response to the growing Russian aggression, end quote. And that in fact, is speaking for myself, this is what you hear from, for example, The Guardian and other West-oriented sources. The Russians are aggressing basically by aligning themselves. I mean, if you follow the argument, what they're saying is that by ideologically and, you know, probably logistically aligning themselves with the Donetsk, with the Novorussians on their border, well, that's aggression. And the U.S. going across the world to conduct military exercises there and to supply the Ukraine's military with its weapons, that's not aggression. That's just defense. So you figure out how that works. It's like you go thousands of miles across the world and shoot, and that's defense, right? That's how mind control works. Because I know when I'm saying that it doesn't provoke the sort of logical outrage that it should. We've heard this over and over and over again, that the U.S. military is a defense force which spreads throughout the world and conquers countries. Because it's a defense force. Because logic doesn't matter. This is mind control. And you can make anything defense in that manner, because it just doesn't matter what you say. You just keep repeating it until other people repeat it. And then there's that whole conservative aspect to mind control in the U.S., which is the what side are you on in my country, right or wrong thing. And that works great, too, because conservatives get something that other people don't. What they get is that they want to be on the winning side. They want to be on the side where they live. They don't care about logic. They don't care about the facts ever, as George the Lesser famously said. That's how it works, and it would be funny if it were not so deadly. But of course, it's not defense. It's imperialism. It's aggression. It's war, and it's immoral. It's wrong. I don't support it. I would just like to point out that the U.S. has been extremely aggressive throughout its history, not only to its own people, but across the world. And currently, there is no excuse for the occupation of Iraq. That was that war, that bombing, destruction of an entire country. That was immoral, and it had no justification. In fact, the occupation, the attack on Afghanistan, the current occupation, has no justification. All of the lives there were lost in vain. All of our soldiers died in vain. There's no excuse. And someone somewhere needs to say that. This war is wrong. There's no excuse for it. We are wrong. We need to turn around. Need to repent. And you can't repent until you stop the wrong thing that you're doing. So I call on the United States to repent. Repent. Stop. Imperial war. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. And quoting again from the WSWS.org report, the ELN report reinforces the warnings the World Socialist website has been making since the crisis in Ukraine erupted in February 2014 with the U.S.-backed political coup in Kyiv, ousting the pro-Russian president Yanukovych and installing a far-right ultra-nationalist regime subservient to Washington and the European Union. The objective logic of this crisis leads inexorably to a military confrontation between the two main nuclear-armed powers, the United States and Russia, with catastrophic implications for all humanity. I think WS.org, the Trotskyites that do this website, are exactly right about that. And I think that's a good summary. So I'm going to repeat it. The crisis in Ukraine erupted in February 2014 with the U.S.-backed political coup in Kyiv ousting the pro-Russian president, Viktor Yanukovych. Remember that? Installing a far-right ultra-nationalist, which is a nice way of saying a bunch of Nazis, regime subservient to Washington and the European Union. The objective logic of this crisis leads inexorably, that's a big word, and it means can't stop it, leads inexorably to a military confrontation between the two main nuclear-armed powers, the United States and Russia, with catastrophic implications for all humanity, because nuclear war. So the U.S. corporate-owned press, and now I'm speaking for myself again, has utterly failed in bringing, this should be a, this should be right up there with the topics of the day. Right now, black people in the United States are fighting for their lives. Black Lives Matter. And that needs to be and is a top topic on the news. But this threat of nuclear war needs to be also a top topic. In this crisis, American imperialism, they write, plays the most aggressive and reckless role. It was the United States with State Department neoconservative official Victoria Nuland playing the main role, which organized and promoted the fascist-led campaign to bring down Yanukovych and replace him with political stooges selected by Washington, Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk and President Petro Poroshenko, the chocolate billionaire and longtime oligarch. Hey, I got to say stooge. Every time I say stooge, I think of the Three Stooges. And I also think of Dr. Strangelove. I just love that word, stooge. But they write, since it has become apparent that the U.S. and the EU are manipulating the Ukraine crisis to create the conditions where Russia itself can be dismembered and its people, territory, and resources parceled out amongst the imperialist powers, this is the long-term strategic purpose of the imperialist campaign of economic sanctions and diplomatic provocations backed by military force. The campaign against Russia is only one component of the increasingly militaristic perspective of American imperialism. As President Obama himself admitted last week, there is a powerful faction in Washington that is vociferously pushing for war with Iran. Obama has only tactical differences, preferring to test whether the Iranian regime can be brought over to the U.S. side in the coming global conflicts with Russia and China. So, and you can read more of that. That article is by Patrick Martin. It is at WSWS.org. And that's something else. to talk about, and I rather object to the repeated statement that there's a choice now that the U.S. Congress can accept the treaty as proposed and remove the sanctions from Iraq, or else it has to be war. No, it doesn't have to be war. There's no threat from Iran. There's no threat. Nothing. It's all bogus, and it's imperialism, frankly. And once again, it is immoral and unjustified. I wonder if you agree with that. The number 503-231-8187, or if you disagree, I'd like to know why. And Sunday's on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. You are so articulate, as usual. I enjoy listening to you and your scope of military, stuff from past, present, futures. Enjoyable to listen to, even though I struggled with that sort of thing in the past. I agree with you. It's like doing this thing in Ukraine. We showed that we were desperate to get involved and to pick a fight. Desperate, because it does appear that we are even backing new Nazis, like you talked about. And, you know, what I think it's all about is it's reached the point where so desperate to pick a fight and have war and carry on with really the worst level of male patriarchal posturing, which it's gone beyond posturing, that we're going to kill the earth. This is all part of the ultimate war of this is a good way to kill earth, which is previously always across most cultures been depicted as woman. So I think that there's so many levels of sick, psycho, dementia within this, much of it perhaps brought on through decades and decades and decades of indoctrination via Hollywood. Because when I watch a lot of the movies that have gone forward out of Hollywood since the 80s, there's nothing in them except men confronting men and who's going to tackle who and who's going to destroy who, to where I don't know if our present-day American politicians are able to think beyond the box, the Hollywood TV box, which totally hates women, just hates women. But those are my thoughts. And then the other thing I was going to say, the birds are gone. The birds lived at the time of the dinosaurs. I mean, they were making their way to becoming birds, but the birds aren't hardly here anymore, and I don't think we'll have birds in 5 years.
I am a little worried.
Really disappeared.
I am worried about birds. I was just thinking the other day that I really haven't seen very many seagulls. They periodically fly into Portland depending on conditions, weather conditions, and food conditions. And I wonder what the situation is with the seagulls locally. And
the birds at the coast the seagulls at the coast are almost absent. I grew up on the coast, and their cries used to be so loud. It was clamorous. It was annoying, like, ah, ah, ah. They're gone, and I have a feeling that Fukushima has a lot to do with this last hit upon the birds. And the birds made it from way, way back, and they're going, which is something that our people, as an Indian, we were told this time would come, even when the birds would be gone. And they made it this far, and we've been able to do them in. And all I can think of is we've got to get to know our neighbors, and we have to be willing to share and care for our neighbors and unify our resources together, share cars, stop everybody driving their own cars, stop consuming, and share and care and be open-minded about that's your way, that's your way.
I think you're right about that. Way. And it's really not so scary.
No, it's not. It's maybe a lot more fun, but this big war stuff is just a way to destroy the Earth, which is probably what happened to Mars. But anyway, I do appreciate your show. I enjoy it so much. And the other thing is, if you could ever have a show where people just call in and ask you questions, because you have such an active mind. And anyway, I just like your show. Thank you, Teresa.
Thanks very much for calling in. And thanks for the boost. There are some headlines that I haven't gotten to yet. I wanted to talk about things that are happening with whistleblowers Julian Assange and with Chelsea Manning briefly. Adam Johnson reports on alternet.org that the Times of London says Julian Assange is expected to be set free next week. Three of his sexual assault claims are set to expire. The WikiLeaks founder was never charged with any of the crimes, but prosecutors have had a warrant for his arrest for questioning, which many believe to be a precursor to formal charges. And Assange has been the guest of the Ecuadorian government, hiding in their embassy for the past 3.5 years to avoid extradition. Last-ditch efforts to quiz the Australian citizen reportedly fell through as the Swedish officials came up against the August 18th deadline. Now, the way this is written by Johnson, I think, is hedging a little bit too much, even though it is on alternet.org. Many people, dozens of people, have been interviewed by the Swedish government in the UK over these years, and they're saying that they could not do so in Assange's case was disingenuous because the Swedish government has a long history of collaborating with the United States government, and the U.S. Wanted to take him into the U.S. and charge him with espionage. And I would also like to repeat what I guess people seem to forget, that Assange is not a U.S. citizen. And Johnson writes that Assange has long claimed his innocence, insisting he would be willing to talk to Swedish officials so long as they promised not to hand him over to the U.S. government, a condition Sweden has rejected. U.S. officials have not so secretly been planning a prosecution against Mr. Assange for espionage, among other crimes. And Trevor Tim writes on boingboing.net that whistleblower Chelsea Manning, who is currently serving an unjust 35-year jail sentence and who has already been tortured under U.S. military supervision, is now being threatened with indefinite solitary confinement for alleged infractions so minor that they are actually hard to believe. Those charges are that he had expired toothpaste and that he had a copy of Vanity Fair. Oh, also, he is said to have swept some food onto the floor. So, solitary confinement, even as U.S. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy recently wrote, is a barbaric punishment that can drive prisoners mad, yet thousands of prisoners are subject to it in the United States every year, and Fight for the Future states, even if these charges against Manning are 100% true, it's certainly no reason to throw a person in solitary confinement for an indefinite period, and is a violation of anyone's human rights, whether they're a whistleblower or anyone else. And he writes, it should go without saying that the Army should drop these frivolous charges immediately. And then, speaking for myself, the Freedom of the Press Foundation has a matching $60,000 grant for Chelsea's legal fees, and you can find that at freedom.press if you're interested in finding out more about the legal fees for Chelsea Manning. Time is 9:41. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I've been denouncing the growing threat of war with Russia. I've been talking about the artillery bombing of Donetsk, an incredible crime, 800 artillery rounds going into the town today. It's off the media. You can find it with a news search. But, you know, I think I'll just pull up the... Let's see. Shall I pull up Yahoo or Google News? Let me try... I'll just try news.google. There we go. And let's see if we can find anything about Ukraine. There's China explosions, Ben Carson, Chelsea Manning... That's good. Connecticut Supreme Court blast in Baghdad, Afghan officials in Pakistan. And let's see, on the world headlines, there's Iran could offer a roadmap for U.S.-Cuba ties. Julian Assange case, second term beckons for Myanmar president. Croatia says two groups were involved. There's nothing on here about war with Russia or the atrocity in Donetsk, which is disgusting. And you better believe it is a blackout. And it's very important to someone, several someones, that you not know or act on the fact that the U.S. is involved with this heinous war crime in Ukraine, in former Ukrainian territory, Donetsk, today. 800 artillery strikes. George Joseph writes that... the feds have regularly monitored Black Lives Matter since Ferguson, and that's in the intercept.org. And I do want to talk about Black Lives Matter movement as well, because that's what's happening in our time. That's what's significant. We have an opportunity, you and I, all people in the United States and around the world, really, have an opportunity to look at, understand, and stop white supremacy. This is one of those moments in history where the world stops, and we have a chance, opportunity knocking. We could look at white supremacy and we could stop it. George Joseph writes, the Department of Homeland Security has been monitoring the Black Lives Matter movement since anti-police protests erupted in Ferguson, Missouri last summer. According to hundreds of documents obtained by The Intercept through a Freedom of Information Act request, the documents released by the Department of Homeland Security Office of Operations Coordination indicate that the department frequently collects information, including location data, on Black Lives Matter activities from public social media accounts, including on Facebook, Twitter, and Vine, even for events expected to be peaceful. The reports confirm social media surveillance of the protest movement and ostensibly related events in the cities of Ferguson, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., and New York. Much more to that article. I'll get to it if I have time. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, and David's on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to talk about sea rise, global warming, instead of children acting badly. It's kind of a matter of consciousness, and the best thing we can do is raise our consciousness, right? You know.
I wasn't talking about children acting badly. Were you listening to a different station, perhaps?
Oh, no. I'm talking about the wars, you know. Yeah, well, anyway, my idea on sea rise is we've got a lot of landmass that is below sea level. Instead of piping crude oil, we should be piping seawater into our low-lying lands and creating inland seas and lots of moisture to create plants.
Seems like climate change is going to be doing that for us.
Yeah, well, it can do it in different ways. We could control it, or we can just let it happen. Anyway, that's my thought. I know it would cause different weights on the continental plates and could cause earthquakes and shifting, but it's what we're dealing with.
Climate change is happening. There was fire situation has worsened every year. There was a fire that closed Highway 26 yesterday. I don't know what the situation is there right now today. Thanks very much for your call. Time is 9:46. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Press Watch. I'm Teresa Mitchell. And I was talking about also the feds monitoring Black Lives Matter. And you might want to pull up theintercept.org. It's got Glenn Greenwald and some excellent writers, and this is from George Joseph. He writes, he says that the reports show the Department of Homeland Security watching over the gatherings that seem benign and even mundane. For example, the Department of Homeland Security circulated information on a nationwide series of silent vigils, and a DHS-funded agency planned to monitor a funk music parade and a walk to end breast cancer in the nation's capital. And I would like to also say, speaking for myself, this is the sort of thing that, of course, we had to expect once Dick Cheney's little stunt in downtown New York on September 11th, 2001, succeeded in convincing the American public to go along with fascistization and a secret police state. And the secret police don't really have any terrorists to follow, nothing significant. You're more likely to be struck by lightning. So, of course, they're spying on you because they've got jobs. They go to it every day. They're supposed to spy on someone. They're going to spy on you because what are they going to do, spy on bugs? They're going to spy on you. So I'm interested in your comments on imperialism, climate change, fascism. September 11th. Time is 9:48, KBOO Portland. And I just want to know how you're feeling about it. And how you might be moving towards revolution. Returning to the article by George Joseph, the surveillance cataloged in the DHS documents goes back to August of last year when protests and riots broke out in Ferguson the day after the shooting of unarmed black teenager Michael Brown. According to two August 11th, 2014 reports, a DHS FEMA Watch Ops officer used information from Twitter and Vine to monitor the riots and reproduced a map originally created by a Reddit user of conflict zones. This sort of information was not confined. Information gathering was not confined to Ferguson. George Joseph writes, a few days after rioting and protest there, a DHS email forwarded another message reporting on the national moment of silence, nationwide silent vigils planned in response to the shooting. The original email listed the cities with planned vigils and noted that they are being spread on social media with the hashtag NMOS14. It also mentioned that the New York Police Department's Counterterrorism Intelligence Organization would be monitoring the situation. So that's New York monitoring across the nation. And a DHS email forwarding that information said the data was provided for your situational awareness. An April 2015 FEMA memo also shows that DHS appears to have gathered information on anti-police brutality protests in Philadelphia organized by members of the Philly Coalition for Real Justice and in New York on May Day at Foley Square. Start time 1700 and independent factions, quoting, are being solicited to join in on a full day of demonstration through various open source social media sites, flyers, and posters, end quote. So speaking for myself, if you think that the First Amendment is respected here in the United States, well, I don't know that it ever was, really. Certainly, the U.S. has a long history of spying on dissenters. And the pretense of democratic freedom just doesn't hold up when you've got situations like Geronimo Gijaga Pratt being thrown in jail on false charges, trumped up by the FBI, and conducted through a local police department and serving more time than Nelson Mandela did. I'm thinking of the COINTELPRO. COINTELPRO is often mentioned as one of those horrors of the 60s and early 70s when the U.S. tried to push through dissent against the Vietnam War and increasing solidarity with black liberation movement of the time. The FBI has always been opposed to that sort of thing, and that's just the history and the facts, but it hasn't changed. And COINTELPRO, by a different name, is going on today, and now we call it Department of Homeland Security. Whether it's any better or worse, hard to say. Time is 9:51. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Jack is on the air.
Yeah, there's so much going on in terms of disinformation. It's just unbelievable. And of course, you know what deflective source disinformation is. And I just pulled up an article. It's about a year and a half old by Wayne Madsen, and it was written. It was posted on the Strategic Culture Foundation, and he's pointing out how the Soros-funded groups were active in Ukraine. The neo-Nazi groups were active in Ukraine. Earlier today, we heard about Soros Foundation. Now, the show just prior to yours, how Soros is now supporting Black Lives Matter. It makes you wonder, and it makes you want to dig a little deeper. What's going on here?
Well, okay. Where did you get that information that Soros is supporting Black Lives Matter? In what manner is he doing it?
It was on the show that was previously Voices from the Edge. The woman who was hosting Voices
from the Edge
mentioned it today on that show.
Okay, so
prior to yours.
All right, that's interesting.
Soros is now supporting Black Lives Matter. I don't know. I didn't hear any source for that. So maybe there's something off with that. We could do a quick search on that one.
Well, what difference would it make to you if Soros was supporting Black Lives Matter?
I'm suspicious of Soros and anything that he supports. That's all. And whether or not there's somebody at work in behind the scenes with Black Lives Matter to create dissension, to defeat solidarity among the underclasses, I don't know. But I would look into it. I would think it's worth looking into.
Okay, let's see. I found something from newsbusters.org, exposing and combating liberal bias. And they say that, once again, we are going to have to apply the Koch brothers test when it comes to journalists covering grassroots protest. Well, I wouldn't I certainly wouldn't use that as a credible source. Let's see.
Yeah, it's hard to say what is a credible source these days, isn't it?
Well, it's easy to say that something that starts off saying that it's combating liberal bias in the media, given that the fact that the media, the major media, is owned by very conservative, even reactionary corporations, I think we can discount that being a reasonable source of news for most items. Let me see what else I can find.
Well, then, but on the other hand, what people consider to be reliable source of news, let's take your flagship program, Democracy Now. Soros funds that heavily. We know that, and so does the Rockefeller Foundation, and that makes me suspicious right away.
Well, that's an interesting accusation, too, and I will look into that in the same manner.
I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I said I'm suspicious, that's all.
Right. Okay, thank you for your call. The number to call, 503-231-8187, times 954. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I've been denouncing the instigation of war in Ukraine and between NATO and the U.S. and Russia. I've been warning that there's been a very severe act of war today, 800 artillery rounds blasting people apart in Donetsk in the former Ukraine territory, and Susan is on the air.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So I just want to address the last guy who called. I'm suspicious of everything. And, you know, 80 million households in the United States hold mutual funds. And you shouldn't, if you're suspicious of everybody just because somebody's name is on the header, on the stationery, you should look in your own mutual funds, because I guarantee you, you're investing in something that you wouldn't agree with. So I think everybody with a mutual fund, 401k, how very nice for you, but you should be looking to see what exactly you're investing in, because mutual funds put trillions of dollars into the economy. What economy? The war economy. So that's what I wanted to
point out today. That's a longstanding conservative meme, you know, distrust, you know, fill in the blank because Soros, you know, or, you know, and it's a general smear as well. So that doesn't mean that you shouldn't watch what Soros is doing, but I am, you know, as you say, suspicious. It's like Soros is funding Clinton. Well, who isn't when it comes to
what is your 401k funding? What is your pension? Where is your money? How is your money working against you? And I think that's a really important thing. I never hear anybody talking about it. And I think that everybody should look into it. Ask your broker, where is your money? Who is it working for? And I guarantee you, like, these bonds don't grow themselves. It's money from somebody, and it's money from you.
Good question. All right, and a good statement. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.
Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I want to know what you think about war with Ukraine and the situation there, and with the U.S. threat of war with Iran. And Jim is on the air.
Hi there. I have a pen pal in Kiev, and she and I exchanged letters from time to time. I just wanted to read a brief piece of a letter that she – this letter is a few months dated, but she talks about going – she has to go from her work to back to her place. She crosses by the Maidan Square, and how there are still protesters there, and she was there watching, and there are still snipers on the roof still shooting people with silencers and all that sort of thing. And then this one paragraph I wanted to read: these days we are expecting new wave of massive attacks. Unfortunately, until Putin is in power, he will continue the war. And unfortunately, despite USA, GB, Great Britain, I guess, guaranteed safety of Ukraine when Ukraine got rid of nuclear weapons, these days, these were just shallow words. And at the moment, we are left alone and armless against Putin's army. Every day, they are killing the best of Ukrainians every single day.
When she says they are killing the best of Ukrainians, who does she mean?
She means the Russian forces.
And they have come in where? She's claiming they've come into Kyiv?
Well, she lives in Kyiv. Uh-huh. And so a lot of, apparently, it's a place where a lot of the wounded are being brought in. So this was a couple of months ago, and so
Wounded are being brought into Kyiv, but you understand that's because they're attacking Donetsk.
I understand, but I a lot of your reportage, and I think it's great, focuses on the systemic. And I just wanted to bring a little bit of a small few lines of the
personal. Right on. I appreciate that. Thanks very much for calling in. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Stay tuned for more of the Incomparable Radio Zine. And we're going out to you via the terrestrial transmitter at 90.7 FM KBOO Portland and on KBOO.FM and in that manner via the World Wide Web to all the ships at sea.
And good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland 1 minute before 10 o'clock. We've got Between the Covers coming your way in 1 hour at 11 this morning. Today, welcoming local author Ellen Urbani on the launch of her debut novel, Landfall, published by Portland-based national publisher Forest Avenue Press. And at 11:30, Words and Pictures welcome celebrated cartoonist and author David Chelsea to preview his new webcomic, Are You Being Watched? A modern take on the Faustian legend set in the era of reality television. But first, we've got Air Cascadia is off today. We have an hour-long edition of Flashpoints, today featuring an update on the situation in Syria, among other topics. And that is coming up next on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present The Yes Men Are Revolting as part of the KBOO at the Clinton monthly film series. The Yes Men Are Revolting is a documentary directed by Andy Bickelbaum and Mike Bonanno, which follows the comedy troupe The Yes Men as they stage phony press releases and events to bring attention to environmental dangers and corporate greed. Again, that's The Yes Men Are Revolting, Thursday, August 13th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia.